Welcome to the Connect Kindness Podcast, where we connect people with organizations to inspire kindness. I'm your host, Crystal Aziz, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tim Evans. In today's episode, we interview Leah Caffarelli and Dan Bridenstine of Living Lands and Waters. Over the past 20 years, their organization has removed over 10 million pounds of garbage from the American rivers and waterways. They not only clean up the trash and debris from the rivers, but they also educate the communities that they visit on how they can reduce the trash from getting into the rivers.
Lee and Dan share how their organization was founded as well as how they got involved with Living Lands and Waters. They both live on the boat for 9 months a year and clean our rivers on a daily basis. We learn the process involved from cleaning the rivers to disposing and recycling of the trash. Lee and Dan are protecting our environment and giving back on a daily basis, and it was a pleasure interviewing them and learning more about their organization. So without further ado, this is our interview with Leah Caffarelli and Dan Bridenstine of Living Lands and Waters.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Connect Kindness Podcast. Can you share with us, what is Living Lands and Waters and what needs do you serve?
Yeah, so Living Lands and Waters, we're a nonprofit river cleanup organization based out of East Moline, Illinois. But we travel throughout the country basically cleaning up our shoreline. So we work to provide individuals in different communities an opportunity to clean up who might not otherwise have that opportunity. If you see tires along the shoreline, 55-gallon barrels, propane tanks, heaters, you see all these big stuff, someone that might want to clean up might not have the tools needed to, say, like a boat to get to the shoreline or a truck to get stuff out of there. And then if they are, they're going to have to spend their own money to get rid of that. So when we come to town, we're able to provide a way for them to come out, clean up the shoreline, and then actually have all that stuff properly get disposed or recycled.
We operate with, you know, heavy machinery and a fleet of barges. So for 6 to 9 months out of the year, we live and operate on these fleet of barges traveling the rivers. And the reason we can reach all this big stuff and snatch it out of the river is because we have an excavator, we have a crane, we have a skid steer, we have a fleet of 5 30-foot commercial fishing boats. So that's how we operate.
That's fantastic. I would love for our listeners to hear the origin story of how the organization began. Can you guys share that with us?
Yeah, so it all started just over 20 years ago with Chad Pograki. He's our founder and president. In his early 20s, he was out commercial shell diving with his brother. So he was just doing that as a means for, you know, financial help. And while he was traveling along doing that work, he was camping out on islands and riverbanks. And he saw just the pollution problem and the garbage that was sitting along the shoreline. So he decided that he would use his boat for better use and go out and pick up this garbage. So it was just one man in one boat just going out there, picking up the garbage. And he was actually just housing it in his parents' yard because he really wasn't too sure what to do with it after that. You know, and they weren't loving it. And he was, you know, after a little bit, like, how am I going to support this? How am I going to make money to keep cleaning up? So he was calling around to, you know, local and state government agencies, and they just kind of would get back to him like, who are you? What garbage problem are you talking about? And we have no money for you. So after watching a NASCAR race, he realized, oh, sponsors. I'll just get some corporate sponsors. So he made all the phone calls himself at the age of, what, like 22 or something like that, just calling every day. And he finally got one sponsor, which is Alcoa, but now they're Arconic. They're in the Quad Cities, which is where we're based out of and where Chad grew up. So that just kind of got the ball rolling. Once he got those sponsors, he was able to grow his mission, you know, purchase more boats, purchase a houseboat, which turned into a house barge. And, we, you know, now it's a $2 million operation with a crew of, I think, 10 crew and 3 office staff. We've been on 24 rivers in 21 states, and we've been able to work with over 115,000 people.
Wow, that is an awesome story. It goes from just a man in a single boat to having a full operation impacting so many people. Yeah. I'm curious, how did you guys get involved with the organization?
Well, I got involved, I actually saw a commercial on TV for the organization back in 2010 for one of their programs at the time called the Great Mississippi River Cleanup. And what it was all in one day, from St. Paul all the way down to St. Louis, Missouri, ended up doing one community cleanup. And so I thought it was such a cool opportunity to work alongside these people and be part of something bigger than myself. I went out there with my folks and my sister and kind of got hooked, changed my major in college and ended up continually volunteering with the organization throughout the remainder of college and ended up turning into an internship and a full-time gig in 2013.
And you haven't left since? No.
I got involved about 4 years ago when I was a junior in college. So I was going to school over at Salem State University in Massachusetts. And I took just a week-long winter course on corporate social responsibility where we read an excerpt out of Chad's book, From the Bottom Up. And I thought it was an interesting story, so I just kind of went on to the Living Lands website and saw that they had this alternative spring break program that they do in Memphis. So me and another friend, we flew over to Memphis and volunteered for a week, and then the year after that I decided I would drive to Memphis and do it one more time. And that's when, you know, I was graduating, so I just kind of went up to Chad and was like, if you ever need any marketing help, you know, I'm doing some marketing right now in college. So he called me the next day and was like, you're hired. Anyone that's going to drive to Memphis to pick up garbage just about 1,000 miles away can join our crew. So now I'm able to run our alternative spring break program and I do our marketing.
That's so exciting. And you guys mentioned that you live on the boat, correct?
We do. We live on here for about 6 to 9 months out of the year. You know, it's actually much homier than most people would imagine.
Yeah, it's pretty nice on here. We have, I think, 8 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, washer and dryer, AC and heat. And it's just like a big home on the river.
Yeah, showers, kitchen, everything. You know,
Wi-Fi even.
Yeah.
Oh, that's big time.
That's awesome. So you guys have removed over 10 million pounds of garbage from the American rivers. What does that process even look like?
Yeah, so currently we're actually at 10,514,488 pounds.
Wow.
As Leah said, we worked for 115,000 volunteers to make that number a reality. And we do it, it's in 3 different ways, kind of. The crew ourselves will actually go out, like on a day like today, we don't have any events planned, so we'll go out with John boats and clean up the shoreline. As the waters get flooded, we end up seeing all the garbage go to the shoreline, and then as the water recedes back down, that's where we find a lot of the trash, a lot of the plastics and tires. So as we're cleaning up the shoreline, we end up putting them all in our John boats. We bring those John boats to our barges, and then we actually sort them. So we have 5 different barges. One of them is our house, but then we have one for scrap metal, one for tires, one for trash, and then one has an excavator on it that we use to go out by itself, and that'll get a lot of the larger stuff. So the stuff that we can't really get with by hand, such like our boats, maybe old floataway docks, big steel beams, a lot of that stuff we'll get with the excavator. And then last but not least, we'll actually do community events. So we'll maybe have an event posted on Facebook or within the community that we're visiting at the time, and we'll get community members out there to pick up the shorelines with us for a couple hours. So that's kind of reacting to the problem. So we're cleaning up trash that we physically see, but to be proactive is the real solution. And so we do actually educational workshops on our barge. So that's what we have. You might hear in the background, students are just getting on board right now, but we'll actually bring local students in the community out to the barge and tell them about how the garbage is getting there, why is it getting there, and little things that they can do on a daily basis to lessen that impact.
That is great. Educating the youth, educating people on, you know, how to take care of the shorelines and keep trash out of the waters. That's fantastic. What happens to all the waste after you guys take it out of the rivers? That's the first part of the question. Second part is, what is the most interesting thing you guys have found while picking up the trash?
Dan went into it a little bit, but so when we come back from a cleanup and unload our garbage, we actually sort it out to its correct barge. So we have our tire barge where we place all of our tires, and those actually get recycled through Bridgestone's Tires Forward program. So once that barge gets full, we pay for semi-trucks to come in, and we use our excavator to load up these semi-trucks full of tires and ship them off to Bridgestone, who will take them and recycle them into like the track and field pavement or even mulch they're turning these tires into, which is great because a lot of people, they don't know what to do with tires, but Bridgestone's been really great to us by taking them. We have our scrap metal barge, which also has a crane on it. So our scrap, we scrap it when it gets full, and we use the funds to go back into our operating expenses, such as like fuel and captains. And then we have a plastic barge. This is where we put all of our bags, garbage, and our bulky plastic, and our hazmat. So we're actually about to lease a jumbo hopper barge, which, if you don't know what that is, it's like a hollowed out barge that you can fill things with, like it gets filled with coal or grain. But we're going to fill it with plastic. So we'll be able to actually clean everything out and sort it properly so that our, you know, single-use plastics will be recycled through any old recycle center. And then our bulky plastics, actually, we're working on having an end goal for that, for it to be turned into a new product. Because it is so hard to recycle the bulky plastic. A lot of people don't take it, so we're still looking for that solution. So that's going to be great. We have a lot of volunteers willing to help us out in October to help us sort that stuff. And then our hazmat, we pay to properly dispose of that most of the time, unless there's a recycle or a hazmat facility that will take it for free. But we make sure all of the, you know, the e-waste or the drums of oil or the diesel that we find out on the river, we want to make sure that makes it to its right area, so we pay for that to be disposed of generally. I think that's all of our barges. That kind of covers all that. But as for interesting things, we find, you know, a lot of interesting things out there, kind of like a little treasure hunt. It keeps the morale up, you know. But I think something really interesting to me is that we have one of the largest message in a bottle collection, which Chad actually turned into a traveling museum exhibit. So it's been down to Houston and to the Quad Cities and Michigan or Minnesota. It's kind of traveling all over, but I think that's really great.
Do you read the messages in the bottle?
Yeah, we do read the messages in the bottles, and they are a wide array of messages.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Dan, what do you think is the most interesting thing that you guys have found?
Yeah, I for sure think that the message is the most fun to find, because you don't really know the story of where it came. One time when I was down in New Orleans cleaning up and everything, I found two of them probably about 15 feet apart from each other. And it was really crazy, because when I was reading it, it was actually from this gentleman that was visiting, and it didn't make it that far because it was from New Orleans where he put it in at. But he was visiting there from Amherst, New York, and it just so happened to be that was the town that I was born in.
Oh, my God.
So that was kind of a really unique find for me, personally.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so what can our listeners do to prevent the waste from ending up in these rivers and something that they can implement in their daily lives?
Yeah. So a lot of the stuff that that we find resorts to single-use plastics, and so just limiting the amount of plastic that we're using on a daily basis is probably the number one thing that you can do. And, you know, we always could be better. Everyone, even us here on the barge, and we see it every day, that you just got to make it a habit. So just changing little things in your daily life, like carrying a reusable water bottle, or, you know, saying no to the straw, just thinking about if you really need the product. Because plastic was invented for a good reason. I mean, there's a lot of good that can come from it, but we just need to use it in moderation and not become so reliant on it. We see a lot of styrofoam. So, I mean, if you see styrofoam, it's kind of one of those things that there's not a whole lot of good that can come from that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you go to a restaurant and, you know, thinking about, you know, taking your food home with you, a lot of times that's all the product they have. They only have styrofoam for you to bring it. So I know people that maybe will bring their reusable containers to the restaurant, but that's a little bulky sometimes. So you can always ask for aluminum foil. They usually have it in the kitchen, and that's a good way to package up your leftovers to bring home.
Unless you ordered soup,
exactly. That might be an interesting thing to put in tin foil.
Yeah. Something I kind of learned out here, which I never really thought of before, is just seeing overloaded garbage cans on the streets, just like those public waste bins. If it's overflowing, don't put your garbage on top of it. It will blow out of there. It ends up in the storm drains, which ends up in the streams, to the rivers, to the ocean. So just limiting your litter, you know, just make sure everything finds its right home, whether it's a garbage can or a recycle bin. Definitely don't be throwing anything out your car window. Cigarette butts, throw them away. Don't just step on them and leave them on the street, you know. The easy things that, you know, it might be more convenient to just say, that's not my problem, but it helps in the long run, every little thing that we do to reduce our waste. And then you know, properly take care of our waste.
For sure. What would you guys say are your biggest challenges facing the organization today?
A big one that we've kind of been searching for a solution just recently is that we generally bring our barge to small rural river towns. The town we're in right now has maybe a population of 30 people at most, and those people have jobs and lives to lead and kids to take care of, so we just are having a problem finding people power. Mm-hmm. The problem is in these small towns, but we can't get the volunteer power that we need to clean everything up. So we're just trying to find a way to bring people to the problem. We did a really great program with Cliff Bar. They have their In Good Company program where they take their partner companies, or maybe it's their sales team, their logistics team, their marketing team. They all come out to work on one project together, and they fly in from all over. So we did that in Ripley, Ohio last year, which needs a lot of help. And we were able for 2 weeks to maybe work with 30 people continuously, and we were able to get it pretty much clean. So we're doing that again this year, thankfully, with for 3 weeks with the In Good Company program. But we just would like to find a way to mimic it, where we could take maybe some of our sponsors out to different areas to help us clean up. Where we are right now, it's really trash. We've been here for 2 weeks, but we've gotten quite a bit of help for where we're at. Maybe worked with 60 community volunteers and a bunch of students, a couple hundred students, but it could use a lot of hands on the problem.
So going into these smaller communities, how are you getting the word out? Is it via social media? Do you guys go to radio stations, or what avenues do you use?
I generally, you know, send press releases out to the local newspaper, and they're always really great about putting it in the news. Or if we're in a larger area like Memphis, just calling up news stations, definitely putting it on social media for those who are following us. Yeah, radio stations we've reached out to. And then just walking around, word of mouth is great for these areas. You know, everyone talks, they know when I come into town, I'm not from here. So just walking around with a flyer, posting it in windows, doing it the old school way.
Yeah.
That's the most momentum, really.
I think what you guys are doing is amazing and unique, and I think it's something that everyone can contribute to and be a part of. It's super easy to be a part of your organization. So how can people that are listening to this get involved with you guys?
You know, obviously follow us on social media and all that kind of stuff to see where we're at, because you never know, we might be coming close to a town near you. And if you end up can't get involved with us that way, you can always get involved with our Adopt a River Mile program. And that's a nationwide program. And basically, we provide you all of the necessary means to do your own cleanup. So we provide you bags and gloves, along with a custom sign that you can put along a stretch of river that you're working on. It's really easy. We have a lot of like school groups and, you know, Boys and Girls Clubs and different companies, you know, around the nation that will reach out and clean up an area near them. That's really how this solution's gonna transform here, because right now we're looking at it as we can only be in one place at one time, and so we're going to where the problem's the worst, and so that's why we're spending a lot of time on the Ohio River right now, which, you know, kind of put the Mississippi River as a back burner for us. So we're only able to do those cleanups, you know, a couple times a year, but we have these individuals that will actually adopt a section of river, so then, you know, it's always consistently being taken care of.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Well, for people who want to get involved with you guys, where can they follow you? What's your social media handles, your website, all that good stuff?
Yeah, so our website is livinglandsandwaters.org, and you can follow along. We are mostly on Facebook at Living Lands and Waters, Instagram at Living Lands and Waters, and then pop on Twitter once in a while at LLandW. But yeah. Any events that are coming up, we'll put them on Facebook or our event calendar on our website. And then we actually made a pretty cool video last year on the Ohio River that you can find on Facebook or YouTube. It's called 10 Million Pounds, and it was our announcement that we had reached our 10 million pounds goal last year around October. It just kind of goes into two, like a little visual of our barge and our boats and our crew. So we like sharing that video with people because it kind of just tells the story in 1.5 minutes.
Thank you guys for not only visiting with us today, but for also what you do for our environment, helping these towns and the rivers. It's so, so powerful. We really appreciate it. Listeners, support them, what they're doing. They're doing some amazing things. Visit them on social media. And guys, thank you so much again, Leah and Dan, for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity. That was wonderful.
Thank you so much for listening to the Connect Kindness podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at ShareGiveDo. And please remember, the world is changed by your example, not by your opinion.